Let us open our Bible. We read from Mark 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 till 20. And then verse 26 till 34. Listen to the word of God, Mark 4, verse 1 and following. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he saw that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on the good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. After, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout out and grow. He himself doesn't know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade and the head, after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like the mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Thus far, the word of God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, before we go to listen to the word of God in our proclamation of the word of God, let me introduce myself with thankfulness that I'm allowed to speak here to preach the word of God. In 2003, the Lord called me to preach the word of God, do mission work in Timor, Indonesia. And with that, now we have a federation, and it's called Timorese Reformed Churches, and there is also a theological college in it where we can train young men to preach the gospel. So forgive me for the order of worship that I'm not so familiar with. This is the first time I am here. But I'm so thankful that we as children of God, no matter what background we are, languages, we can worship the same God, the true God. And so with this, brothers and sisters, I'd like you to look at Mark 4, verse 35 till 41, which is our text this morning. Let us read from Mark 4, verse 35 till 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, after the proclamation of the word of God, we will sing in response of hymn 246. Have you ever been so scared or worried? What do you scare of your sickness, of your relationship, of your friends who put pressure on you? And in fear, do you pray to God? And what is the answer? Do you always have the answer from God? Do you think that your God understands your situation? What we usually say to God when we are hurting is this: "I need you, God, to wake up, to change my circumstances. If you really, my God, if you care for me, you'll do something to get me out of this mess I am in." Or at the minimum, if you don't change the circumstances, explain to me why is it happened to me. Sometimes we get answer right away, sometimes we don't. But you know that our Lord is powerful God, and he could act as if he as if he wants to, and he chooses to do that. And so in this passage that we read today, give us a clear assurance of how should we face the storms of life, the troubles that would cause fear in our lives. The disciples were terrified because of the storm. The question is it right to be scared? Is it right to be fear? To fear. So I proclaim to you the word of God under this theme. When calming the storm, the Lord Jesus instructs us not to be scared, but to have faith in Him. The Lord Jesus instructs us not to be scared, but have faith in Him. We see two things. First of all, the need of this instruction. Second, the purpose of this instruction. Brothers and sisters, when we read this story, then we would ask the question, is it right to be scared? Or to put it in a practice, if you have problems in your life, be it failure in your business or sickness, those things can cause us to be scared, to worry. Is it right to be scared? More question in our mind, why these things come to me? We ask those questions not because we don't want to accept struggles that we face, but because we want to see God's hands in our lives. Sometimes we know that problems come to our lives because of our direct sins, and so we need to ask for forgiveness of sins. But other times we don't even know why we have those problems. Think of Job. And that's a tough one. And so when we read this story, we may also learn of how this comes about to the disciples. Why such storms come upon their boats? First of all, was it normal that the Sea of Galilee would have such a big storm? What are the conditions? What were the conditions of the Sea of Galilee? You know from your Bible, you read from your Bible study book, then you will learn that the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by hills, especially on the east side with its abrupt and sharp cliffs. And so because of its location, it is understandable that this sea often receives violent winds, which often cause high waves. So it is not unusual that there was a storm in the Sea of Galilee. More, this was not the first time the disciples crossing this sea. It was normal that the people at that time would cross this ocean, and they would also experience some storms. Notice also in verse 36, where Mark says, and other little boats were also with him. So they were not alone. But brothers and sisters, the storm the disciples facing now was not just a normal storm that happens often in the Sea of Galilee. The Bible describes it as a big storm. The waves were so high that they were actually breaking over the side of the boat, and the boat was beginning to fill up with water. And we see that the disciples were scared. However, it is interesting to see the position of the Lord Jesus. While the disciples were terrified, scared of waves, scared to die, Mark said in verse 38, but Jesus was in the stern, as asleep in a pillow. As if our Lord Jesus did not feel the storm, as if there was no problem. So out of frustration, the disciples came and woke Jesus and asked, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What is Jesus' reaction? Jesus did not have any sympathy with them. Instead, he rebuked them with this question, why are you so fearful? Why are you so scared? And not only that, the Lord Jesus also put finger on the reason of being scared. He put fingers on the reason of being fearful. The Lord Jesus rebuked the disciples by saying, how is it that you have no faith? And we say, isn't it normal that someone be so scared when he is in those kind of circumstances, when he's about to lose his life? Why would the Lord Jesus rebuke his disciples by saying, "How is it that you have no faith?" Well, brothers and sisters, to understand our words, the words of our Lord, our Savior, we need to consider the situation, the context of before our text. Consider the time when these things happen. What is the context? When did this event take place? Unlike other gospels, Mark gives us a clear indication of the time this event taken place. Look at verse 35. In verse 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over the other side.'" If you pay attention to that small word, phrase there, "on the same day," that gives us an indication that this event, the coming of the storm, has strong relationship with the Lord Jesus' act, what the Lord Jesus did during the day. As you read from the beginning of the chapter 4, we can see how busy our Savior was on that day. If you look at take a look at chapter 4, verse 1, when he says that there was, and he began to teach by the sea, and that there was a great multitude. He teached the Greek multitude by means of parable. And the disciples were given the ability to understand those parables. The Lord Jesus himself took time to explain to disciples the meaning of those parables. It all happened on the same day. And what was the content of the teaching? By means of the parables, the Lord Jesus teaches the multitude about the kingdom of God. Jesus wants the crowd, also the disciples, to understand of what the kingdom of God is. The three parables that Jesus taught were all speaking about the kingdom of God. Or in our world today, we said the preacher's theme was the kingdom of God. Take a look at, for example, Jesus' first parable, Mark 4, verse 3 and following. That is the parable of the sower, farmer. That Jesus says the farmer goes out and sows the seeds. And what is the key tone in this parable? The point is that the kingdom of God is going to be built through spreading the gospel. The word of God is proclaimed to all hearers that Jesus is the king. But the Lord Jesus also warns the disciples that not all the hearers would believe in the word of God. And therefore, by way of parables, the Lord Jesus gave three types of listeners. There are three types of listeners that you need to pay attention, says the Lord Jesus. First, listeners. There are those who hear the word of God, but then because of their hardened hearts, they rejected the word. Second, Jesus says, there are those who were first excited about the word of God, but after they experienced persecution, hardship, they ran away from God. And so the Lord Jesus says in the parable, they are like the seeds that sown on the rocky places, and so have no roots, verse 16 to 17. Or like the seeds that's sown among thorns, verse 18 to 19. And third, listeners, that there are those who hear and believe in the word of God and bear fruit of it. Verse 20. The point of the first parable is this, that the kingdom of God is indeed coming through the preaching of the gospel. Indeed, there are those who reject the word of God because of their hardened hearts. But that doesn't mean that Christ is not the king. For there are also those who accept God's word, acknowledge that God is the King of Kings, and they experience the benefit of it. There are fruits. And so the Lord Jesus continued to teach his disciples about his kingdom in the second parable. That is what the kingdom of God like, says the Lord Jesus in verse 26 and following. It's like a man who scatters the seed on the ground and he goes to sleep by night and rise up by day, and the seed sprouts, grows, and he himself does not know how. That's a miracle. And that's the point of the second parable, that God's kingdom, that our Lord reigns over our hearts and life, that our Lord influences every aspect of our lives, that our faith may grow, that our Lord works miraculously in bringing the people to Him, to believe in Him. That's how God reigns the world. And how should we compare the kingdom? How should this kingdom grow? Look at the third parable in verse 30 and following, when the Lord Jesus says that the kingdom of God grows rapidly, like the mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground, yet once it grows, it becomes the biggest of the garden, the biggest of all the garden herbs. Similarly, said the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God, once it is established, it expands and keeps expanding. This is a promising statement of the kingdom of God. His churches will grow and no one can stop it. This promise is real. The Lord Jesus is king, and his kingdom would expand no matter what. For he controls the universe, he controls the world, and he can expand his kingdom in miraculously way. And that's what the disciples should understand and therefore work with it in their daily life. The disciples, as the future farmers in gardens, in God's garden, will have to understand how the Lord works. They have to trust in the Lord. They have to believe in their hearts of what the Lord just taught them. For there will be a hard time when they start to go out to spread the gospel. There will be resistance. And so they need to prepare for themselves. They need to have faith in the Lord and not in themselves. And that's what the Lord teaches them in parables, in order to prepare them. And now, what did the disciples do with this message? Did they really understand and put trust in the Lord in their daily life? Or did the message of God's kingdom come to one ear and goes out to another ear? Did the disciples listen to what the Lord Jesus just talking about? That he is the king, and that he will work miraculously for the upbuilding of his kingdom. The Lord Jesus wants his disciples to walk and work in faith. It just reminds me of my catechism students. If you see the catechism students, they get good mark in their memory work. They understand what I'm talking about the catechism class, catechism teaching. But can they really apply in their daily life, in facing troubles and pressure in this current culture, when they have to make a choice of what is right and what is wrong? So we see at the end of the day, after the Lord Jesus lecturing the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the sea." Crossing the sea was Jesus' idea. Let me repeat again, that crossing the sea was not the disciples' idea, it was Jesus' idea. Why would Jesus command his disciples to go to the other side of the sea? Well, it seems to be that, first of all, the Lord Jesus wanted to take it easy because he was tired. Notice what Mark says in verse 36b, when he says, "They took him along just as he was." He was tired. He was exhausted. He's teaching and preaching all day. So that's why when he was in the boat, he was right away falling to sleep. But as the disciples set out in the calm of the evening to cross to the eastern shore, a storm broke out. Mark says, and a great windstorm arose. That's wild wind, violent wind, storm came up toward the disciples' boat. Within a moment, the sea was frothing
waves mounting up. It was a great wind, Mark says. The disciples found themselves in the midst of tremendous raging storm, the boat filling rapidly as water came dashing over the bow, the front part of the boat. And the result was the disciples panic, for the boat was almost sink. The disciples were terrified. Who would not be so scared when you were in that situation? Imagine if you were in that situation, you probably sweat. And no doubt you would cry for help. Have you experienced that? In that situation, you almost lost your life. Now, brothers and sisters, don't ever think that the disciples were coward people who never experienced the ocean. The disciples were not city people. The ocean, the sea, were not strange for them. Remember that these disciples are fishermen. They know well how to sail. They have crossed this sea many, many times in their life. Nothing is new for these disciples. They were not a bunch of wimp. They were experienced, strong people. But can they handle this type of storm? Can they use their muscles, their experience to tackle this wind? The Bible says that the boat was almost sank. Clearly, they cannot handle it by themselves. Mark says that the waves broke over the boat. But it was interestingly that the Lord Jesus slept nicely in the middle of the storm. Imagine that. In the middle of the storm, the boat was almost swamped. The boat was almost sink. The Lord Jesus was sleeping peacefully as if there was nothing happened. That shows the difference between the Lord Jesus and his disciples. The Lord Jesus really trusts his heavenly Father who controls the elements of nature. Second, this shows that the Lord Jesus himself has the power over nature and the whole universe. So the Lord Jesus also wants to teach the disciples to learn to trust him. They should really have faith in him. More, our Bible points out that our Savior was sleeping during the storm to show clearly that he was a truly man, just like us, who also was tired, but at the same truly God to save us. And so the Lord Jesus let the disciples struggle with the problem. And yes, it was not without reason that the Lord, our Heavenly Father, sent the winds and the storms right when his Son was sleeping. And the Lord demands the disciples, the members of the church at that time, to trust firmly to the Lord Jesus. The disciples have to acknowledge and therefore apply that in their lives, that Jesus is the King of Kings who controls the universe, who controls their life every day. And so they are safe in Jesus' hand. After all, it was Jesus who commanded them to cross over the sea. Now, the disciples have to practice what they just heard in the morning. But the fact of the matter was that the disciples failed to trust in Jesus. They were so scared. They did not put trust in the Lord Jesus who was with them all the time. They did not trust that the boat will never sink because the Son of God was with them. They scared because they did not use the message they have today in their class. They thought that since they have experience, they could handle the storm, the problem by themselves in their own strength. So out of panicking, they woke Jesus up. But Jesus in turn rebuked them because of their unbelief, because of their lacking of faith. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" says the Lord Jesus. You see the tone in this. It is not about fear. It is not about scare or panic that the Lord Jesus is talking about. No, our Lord Jesus points to the source of fear, to the source of scare. That is not having faith. Jesus puts fingers on the source of fear. Do you still have no faith? Obviously, the disciples did not have. They have forgotten that the Lord Jesus is the one who controls the world, for he is the king and ruler of the elements of the nature. They did not take into heart of what the Lord Jesus just taught them, that kingdom of God means that God is in control of everything, that nothing can separate them from the love of God, that God will always be with them. Here they were together with the Lord Jesus in the same boat, yet they still fear of losing their lives. Now, brothers and sisters, we can understand somewhat, and we can say that the disciples were young believers. Moreover, at that time, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was not completed yet. However, Christ did not feel pity for his disciples, this young church. He feels the need to rebuke them so that they may be strong, so that they can apply the teaching that they just heard. What about you and me? We have been blessed. We are living in the time when Christ has completed his work. He has suffered and died on the cross for our sin. He has shown you the power, his almighty power. He has conquered the dead. He controls even the dead. Should you be scared? And we say, no, I would not. But the fact of the matter is that we are still have our worries. We still have our fears in our life. Fear because of the trouble in our family, children maybe doing drugs. Fear because of the trouble in our business. Fear because of the debt in the bank, maybe you don't have much. Fear because of what's going on in the church. And the list continues, goes on and on. And we have those fears because we are sinful people. We are still living in this broken world. And we have to acknowledge that our faith in this world is small and weak. And therefore we too need this message daily. Do not be so scared. The Lord your God is in control. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the Lord put us in our difficult situation. And the question is, of course, what would you do with that? Should you deal those problems with yourself, or should you give it to the Lord? You said, wow, what a beautiful message today we have. I imagine the same thing what the disciples were taught. What a beautiful message that the Lord Jesus taught them. But the question is, can you work with this message in your daily life? Can you apply this message in your stormy life? Are you brave enough to telling your friends that it's cool not to do drugs, for example? Can you be bold in facing your problems, knowing that the Lord is your king and he controls every single thing in your life? That is the need of this instruction. And what is the purpose? The second point. The purpose of this instruction. The disciples were terrified. They were scared of their lives. And so they came to Jesus and asked for help. And so the Lord woke up and rebuked the winds and the waves. The Lord Jesus says, quiet! Peace! Be still! He spoke to the storm. He ordered them to be quiet. And it was completely calm. That's what it takes. As soon as the Lord said, quiet, be still, all of a sudden the wind, which had been roaring and boating around the ears, stopped, and there was absolutely stillness. And the waves, which had been dashing over the bow, filling the boat, threatening them, mounting up higher on overside, were suddenly still, as though a giant hand pressed them down, and there was great calm. Amazing. And sometimes we are so used to the weather forecast, and so we forget that God is in control of the universe. The disciples were also used to the weather in the Sea of Galilee, had to stand in awe of what they just saw. And so they asked each other, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? All of a sudden, the disciples realized that this teacher, Jesus, is not just a teacher. He is more than a teacher. And that's exactly the point. Christ wants to show to the disciples and also to you and me, the church today, that he is more than just a prophet. He is more than just a teacher. He is the King of Kings. He reigns universe. He controls everything. That is the purpose of this instruction. You see, the Muslim believe that Jesus is the prophet. They miss this whole point that Jesus is God. Jehovah Witness believe that Christ is merely man sent by God. They miss this point that Jesus is God. Both of these human-made religions fail to recognize that Jesus is God and King of Kings. However, you and me were privileged to know that he's not just a teacher. He's not just a great prophet, but he's also God who controls the universe. Our Lord Jesus taught his disciples in that daily day that the kingdom of God is coming and the king reigns all over in our aspect of life. And the king cares for his people. That nothing in this world could move without his will. Everything is in his hands. And now if everything is in God's hands, then why should they be scared? And that's what the Lord Jesus rebuked them by saying, why are you so afraid? If you know that your life is in God's hand, if you know that the Lord Jesus is King and he controls the universe, every aspect of your life, then why are you so afraid? The Lord Jesus spoke these harsh words to disciples as an instruction to them so that they may be awake from the spiritual sleepiness. So that they may realize that indeed he controls the universe. And it is also a good lesson for us that we may continue to believe that he is our Lord and King. He controls the world. And so we see the comfort in this instruction. For you and I believe that our Savior has come and suffered on the cross. He conquered the death. And we believe that nothing in this world happened without the will of God. As we confess it in Lord's Day 10. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that we will be free from our troubles. That doesn't mean that we will be free from hardship. No troubles, hardship, there will be there until we die. So when you have serious sickness in your life or in your loved ones, you know for sure that even that does not come without his will. He allows things to happen. He allows sickness, the famine, the war, the death enter our life so that we have patience in our adversity. That way we may continue to hold firmly to our faith. Have you experienced that in your life? Don't ever think that our Lord just looks after the weather and all that is in them. But he will not control your wheels or watch over your fingers when you hammer the nail on the roof when you're making your kitchen. There too he watches over you. Everything is in control. And if you know this and believe with your heart, and indeed your life is in his hand, then you may lay down, relax, not to worry about tomorrow. Then you have peace in your life, even if your heart is not working properly, humanly speaking. Or even if you are alone, even if you are out there by yourself, even if your body is decayed because of various sickness, you have a strong reason to have peace. For God never mistakes. God never makes any mistake when he allows things happen in your life. Do you believe that? That God never makes any mistakes in your life. In this story, brothers and sisters, our Savior was sleeping when the storm came about to the boat. Today, our Savior is in heaven. In his glorified human nature in heaven, our Lord Jesus never sleep. Instead, he tirelessly watch over us every moment of the day and every moment of our night. And since he loves us and purchased us with his own blood, he will never leave us nor forsake us, even when things look so good, not so good in our life. Yes, there will be storm in your life. There will be difficulties in your life, but you should be sure that you are not paddling by yourself. The Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Storm, the Almighty God is with you, and he will never let you go. Amen.